five lords of the man of war, the onward Christian soldiers marching out the war. For I say the Lord will be unto her, a wall of fire run about and be this Lord in the midst of her. The Lord is our protector. We are called by the Father to follow his lead. We are called to be the head of the household and be two men in our homes for our entire family. Teach the family how to worship our true Father. So your children don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true Father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press for safe. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the city. All you have to do is take it for G-O-D. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, his presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the ark of the Lord. Shout out to the Lord. He hears your heart cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty man. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He's the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you're weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy. Single-handed, the mighty men of valor.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, I love that. I mean, you join the Men's Fellowship of the Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center. And our mouth is where the broken are made whole by God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are we here? This is Bishop Byrd along with Hallelujah Minister Cleveland, Jerry Cleveland. Hallelujah. We just, hallelujah.
Amen.
When I hear that song or selection or whatever you want to call it, it just pumps me up because then we really realize who we really are, mighty men of valor. Hallelujah.
Yes.
God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good afternoon. Good evening, everybody. Hallelujah, hallelujah, before we go on any further. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for every man and every young boy, every king and every king in training that's listening to this, hallelujah, this men's fellowship right now. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you meet them at the point of their need and then give them super abundantly above in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for your harvest on the seed sown. We thank you, Lord, for 30, 60, 100-fold, even 1,000-fold increase of blessing. And we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the glory. We bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Hallelujah. Glory to Minister Jerry, if you would give us the housekeeping suggestions on this evening. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Get your pencils, get your pens, get your notebooks and your piece of paper, your napkins even, whatever you have to write on, whatever you have to write with, get it because tonight is going to be hot, hot, hot. And you're not going to want to miss out on any of these notes. So take these absolute positive notes so that you can refer back to them after the broadcast has passed. Amen. It's going to be good.
Well, bless God. Thank you so much. May God add signs, wonders, miracles, and blessings to the
house
suggestions on this evening. And I guess the topic for today is really how to be a godly man. Godly man. Hallelujah. I know one scripture that jumps out to me or at me, hallelujah, glory to God, is 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. You got to get in Christ. You want to be a godly man, bottom line, that's called the starting point, hallelujah. You got to get in Christ, y'all. Hallelujah, that's the starting point. I don't care if you're 5 or 50, you got to get in Christ, hallelujah, and Christ got to get in you, hallelujah, glory to God. And I found out some time ago, Minister Jerry, that Christianity is not a religion; it's a way of life.
Yes.
So as a way of life, you get in Christ, you're going to be set for life. Religion,
not yes, sir. Not only are you going to be set for life, are you going to be set for life? We usually use that when we're talking about physical things, but when we talk about financial things, usually people say, "Oh, you're set," or "You're fixed," or "You know everything is set up for you, and everything you need is going to be right there for you." And we are usually talking about physical things and emotional things that we can see, but we are to live in the spirit realm. We're spirit beings living in this physical body, so we actually should be meaning that you are set, like you just said, Bishop. You are set in the spirit because things have been set for you over thousands of years ago, since you were a twinkle, before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye. Things were set for you. Amen. Bless God. Things were set for you before the beginning of time. Things were set for you. They've been waiting for you all of this time. And so it would behoove you to absolutely get into what it is that has been set up for you. It's like a child with a what do you call those? They have the fund that's waiting for them, and when they become of age, they can get their inheritance. That's right. It's an inheritance that has been established for you only since the beginning of time, but it's been waiting for you to find it and to get it and to take it and grow in it and mature in it.
Man.
That's one of the key words, mature.
That is so true, Minister Jerry. That is so true. And see, as men and young boys, we need to understand and get it set in our minds that things happen in the spirit before it happens in the natural.
Before it happens in the natural.
Before it happens in the natural. So when you flow in the spirit realm and begin to flow with the things of God, God will cause the tangible manifestation of that which you are dealing with to happen in the natural realm.
Yes.
It starts with getting your soul right. Hallelujah. Get it in Christ and Christ in you is a hope of glory. Hallelujah. So, I found out, Minister Jerry, that things that kind of want to get us off a track. As a young boy or as an adult, is the three things that kind of try to get you off track. It's not that they're all bad, but the love of them causes them to be bad for you. They get you off the track. It's supposed to be the three G's, but I changed a G to an F. I'll tell you what it is. The gold, the glory, or the gal. But we're dealing with the men, so we can leave the three G's there. But it's the gold, the glory, or the flesh.
Yes.
If you love all of that in such a way that you know, you're going to get off track. You have to make sure that your love is for God and for what he has done and what he is going to do for you. Now, I found out that as we grow, we have opportunities that present themselves to us. And we have to make sure that we're going down the right road, the right path. I think, Psalms 119, verse 105 says, the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In other words, the word of God lets you know where you are and where you're going. And if you're going down the wrong road, it's going to let you know that too. The word of God will do that. Minister Jerry, I tell you, the gold, the glory of the gals will get people off track. The gold, you know, getting wealth.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to have wealth. In fact, the Bible says in 3 John 1 and 2, the God which above all things that you prosper, that be wealthy, and be in health even as your soul prospers. So everything is dependent, is relegated to your soul prosper. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to be healthy. You know, people say, well, if it's God's will, God be healed. His will is for you to be healed, y'all. As your soul prospers, as you step out in faith and believe God.
Yes.
When opportunities come in front of you, men and young boys, you know, you got to, that first scripture, you see the first scripture there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. If you can go to that and read that.
I have Luke 14:28.
Okay. I think it's 28-30. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Luke 14:28. And it reads, for which of you, wishing to build a farm building, does not first sit down to see whether he has sufficient means to finish it. Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is unable to complete the building, all who see it will begin to mock and jeer at him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it, did not have enough to finish it. That's it. Yeah, that's okay. Down to 30.
What version is that?
This is not the King James. This is the it's my favorite version.
Oh, that's the Amplified.
Amplified, yes.
Okay, that's the Amplified. The bottom line, you got to count the cost. Count the cost of your life without God. It won't be a mess.
That's
count
right.
The cost of you trying to build the building of your life, building a structure, building a family, building a church, building a building, and you don't count the cost, you won't mess up.
Mm. You know, Bishop, in today's world, in today's time, and I don't know that you or I or older people ever would have thought that we would see some of the things that we're seeing today. And
mm-hmm.
people are in such a rush, in such a mad rush, such a mad hurry, that they feel like, oh, I can just gaze at it and figure out in my head what it's going to be like or what it's going to do or this or that or the other thing. No, you have to sit down and you have to, the scripture says, calculate. You have to sit down and you have to figure, well, I need so much cement, and that's going to cost me this, and I need so many bricks, and they're going to cost me that, and we have to sit down and add it all up and see if we can meet the cost. That is formulating a plan. And we don't want to take the time to plan. We don't want to take the time to sit down and calculate. We don't want to. It takes time. But in today's world, we're in such a rush, such a hurry. People are flying here and there. They figure they can eyeball everything, but you just can't do it. Scripture tells you have to calculate. You have to sit down. You know? Do you know those people who are calculating people? There are people, you know some of them. There are people who.
That's the paralysis
of
analysis.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's right. Mm-hmm. And some of them have your day planned before you get up in the morning. They got it all written down. Oh, yes.
Oh, you know, here's the thing. When you count the cost of men and young boys, count the cost of what you're getting ready to get into.
Yes.
And you don't want it to cost your relationship with God.
That's right.
You've got to have a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. If you're getting ready to get married,
mm-hmm.
if God is not part of that equation, mm-hmm. you're already messed up.
Either you're already talking, man.
You're getting ready to start
yep.
a business, and God yes. is not a part of that planning.
Yes.
You're already messed up.
That's right. That's right.
If you're getting ready to do something, and you have not calculated God in the equation, you have already signed up to fail.
I'm glad that you brought that up that way, that you have not figured God into the equation. I worked at this youth center one time, and I loved it there. I loved the people. I loved the kids that I worked with. I just loved going to work, the whole thing. I was blessed. I was blessed. One of the gangsters in town, we would have different people come over to talk to the boys and encourage them. And one of the well-known gangsters in town, can I call his name? You think it would be okay?
Yeah.
Little Melvin. You remember Little Melvin?
Yeah.
Little Melvin, he was the biggest number runner, I believe, in Maryland. And he, before you had to pay to play. But he was one of the and he came over to that school and he talked to those boys. It was an all male facility, and he talked to those boys, and he had been locked up, of course. You know, he's been in and out of jail and so forth, but he said something that kind of stuck with me all of these years. This was years ago. He told them, if you're getting ready to do something that you know you have no business doing, and you know that if you get caught, you're going to get locked up. He said, sit down and see if you got the time. Count the time. Okay, you get 50 years for this. I'm 15 years now. Okay, 50, 65. I'll be 65 when I get out. You're sitting down and you're calculating and you're counting the cost. Do you want to be 65 coming out of prison? Do you want to be? Yeah, count the cost.
Count the cost. You know what? Another thing, I don't know if he said it or somebody else said, if you can't do the time,
don't do the crime. That's right. That's what he was saying in a nutshell. That's what he was saying right there. That's
if
right.
you can't do the time, don't do the crime.
But that means that you're going to have to count it. You're going to have to figure it out. You have to think about it. You can't just knee-jerk
everything.
What
would you lose?
Yes.
If you get involved
that's
in something dirty and trying to call it clean.
That's right.
And see, the key here, we're talking about a godly man. He ain't going to get involved in stuff like that because he's going to think about what God would do and what God would say. What would Jesus do? And I know right now Jesus wouldn't go into a bank and rob it.
No.
You need to stop that.
Yeah.
You, somebody want to think about, well, Jesus said all the gold and silver, I'm just going to get some. That ain't Bible. You don't go rob nobody. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. That makes you go into God.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we got to count the cost.
And
it's very important. There's another scripture there. Did you see another scripture?
Yes, sir. Philippians verse 1. Philippians 1. 1:24. Philippians 1:24. I've got a. Ooh. Let me.
Go ahead.
What do you say?
What is that scripture?
Philippians. Hold on.
Philippians 1:6.
Oh, okay. Yes, that I have that one as well.
Okay, let's
Philippians chapter 1. Verse 6.
Okay.
Philippians 1 and 6. Just a minute. Let me. Ooh, wait a minute. Oh, gosh. Philippians 1 and 6. A minute. Bishop, just a second.
Okay. Well, the bottom line is that we got to be careful. Here's one of the things, too. They're going to be, as a young man, as an adult, fully adult, as boys, opportunities will present themselves. There are five things that you look at when there's an opportunity presents itself. Five things you got to look at. Really, really six things. Number one, is it godly? Is it holy? You can stop there if it ain't. Boom. But the other five things, number one, if the opportunity, say it's the opportunity to do some investing or something, you're going to look at the company. You're going to look at need in the marketplace. You're going to need the product, the compensation, and the timing. Because a lot of times, opportunities present themselves, and it looks okay, but the company or who's doing it, they're not saved. You don't walk together with anybody who's not saved. If you accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you're going to business, you go into business with an unsaved person. In other words, your Lord is Jesus. Their Lord is the devil. What you think gonna happen to that relationship? It's gonna be a problem. So you look at the company you keep, you know, the company itself. Then you look at the need in the marketplace. Whatever they try to get you to do, is there a need for that? To do that. Is there a need for then the product that they're dealing with? Now, if somebody trying to get you, there may be a need for illegal drugs, but the product is illegal drugs, you don't want to go there. That's not holy. That's not acceptable unto God. Hallelujah. Then the compensation. The compensation He's going to be time in jail, death, or whatever if you choose something other than something that's cooked up with God. Hallelujah. And then the timing. Now, there may be some situations where what is offered is good. The need is good. The product is good. The conversation is good. But the timing is off.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to make sure you got that covered. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did you find that scripture?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Read that scripture, if you would.
I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you.
Hallelujah. Now, we started on talking about counting the cost. If you got your King James Version, you started counting the cost. And you start with something. If you got God involved in what you're doing, you're not going to not finish it. God, this scripture says he started in you. He's going to complete it. If you're working with the Lord, if you're on the Lord's side, the Lord is on your side. Glory to God. Glory to God. Give me another scripture right there.
Well, can I add something to that? When this talks about he will complete the work in you, he will finish it. He will bring it to a maturity. That's what it's saying. He will bring it to a complete from the seed being planted to the fruit, the ripe fruit, will come forth. And it will shine, and it will give him glory. It will give him the credit, and it will show who he will be able to show himself strong in you. That's what that's talking about. Bringing his work to maturity in your life. That men and women will be able to look at you, point to you, and say, "Oh, this is something other than what I thought it was. This is God." This is the work of God. This is the completion of God in this man's life, in this boy's life, in this person's life. We've brought it to a head, and now we can see openly. We can read this boy. We can read this man. We can read the scripture, the life that he lived, because God has brought it to maturity.
You know what, Minister Jerry?
Yes.
Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus."
Yes.
You stay in Christ, and your resources for what you're trying to do is going to present itself to you. He shall be there with you all along. I mean, praise God. Bless you, Cardio Moshaka. Thank you, Lord. The scripture I need to give you is Psalms 124. That was what that should have been. I don't know
what is it?
To Psalms 124. You go to Psalms 124.
Okay.
And read from 1 through, what 1 through 6 or 7. It's going to tell you that you stay in Christ. Guess who's going to be on your side?
Psalm 124. First verse. All right, here we go. What psalm, I'm telling you, has the first verse of Psalm 124. And this, wait a minute, my boost your hold here.
It's the real Bible. It might be good to get the real Bible. You understand what I'm saying?
I think you're right.
It might be good to get the real Bible. But anyway, the word of the Lord says in Psalms 124, King James Version, it says, look here, If it had not been God on my side, I would have been consumed by my enemies. What I'm trying to do would not have worked out. It would not have succeeded. I would not have been successful. I would not have been a winner.
That's right.
More than that.
It had not been the Lord. If it had not been for him, that's right.
Go ahead.
I would have, here's what it says. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have quickly swallowed us up alive when their wrath had kindled against us. The fourth verse says, when the waters would have overwhelmed us and swept us away, the current would have gone over us. Then the proud waters would have gone over us. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We are like a.
You get on God's side, he's gonna get on your side.
Yes.
Involve God in yourself. I don't care if you're 5 years old and you're on a team, a baseball team. Involve God in yourself. You said the coach, before we go out on the field, can we just have a word of prayer? And you go ahead and pray, 5 year old. He said, well, I don't know if I can say, look, on our morning worship call, we had she was 4 years old. Praying in the morning, a four-year-old. So anybody 4 years old and over can pray.
Amen.
In fact, if you're 3 years old and you can pray, you can stay. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. So
all you need is to
get involved in your stuff, no matter what it is.
Yes.
The world tries to divide. Okay, this is religious. This is no. Everything is, we are spirit beings.
Yes.
We happen to live in an earth suit. And we have a soulable realm.
Yes.
But we are spirit. And as a spirit, we need to act like we know. We need to walk in the spirit. We need to talk. We need to think. We need to do what the spirit of the living God would have us to do.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Can I read the last last verse the last verse here? The 7 and 8. We are like a bird escaped from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. That's it. After the 8th verse.
Amen.
We
That's
have escaped.
I want to see too. And I'm gonna tell you, y'all, you got victory. Jesus, when you involve him in your stuff, when you calculate something and you calculate him in there too, I'm not going to add up numbers. How can I calculate? Lord, help me get the numbers right. Get him involved in all your stuff. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, glory to God. It says, God always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. You're going to be a winner. You were destined to be a winner. Little boy, young man, little king in training, all the kings that are walking around, you were already designed. Before you were even in your mother's womb, you were designed to be a winner. But you only can be a winner in Christ. You're not in Christ, you're a loser. I would get ready to say you the biggest loser, but we know who that is. The devil's the biggest loser, then he got a bunch of folk that close to him.
Yes.
But I want you to know that it's important for you to stay in Christ. Did I have one more scripture?
Romans 8:28.
Hallelujah. That you don't have to read that. I knew that one by heart.
Romans 8:28. We are assured and know that our God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose.
All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
You're called to be a winner. Men, kings, kings of training. You're called to be winners, not whiners. You're
okay.
called to be winners, not losers.
Yes.
You're not an also-ran. You're not an afterthought of God. But you were planned to be a winner in Jesus' name from the
Amen.
Very beginning. Walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Galatians 5:16-25. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. A lot of times we fall into a trap. A lot of people will tell you, but don't do this, don't do that, don't do that, don't do the other. If you walk in the Spirit, if you do what God says do, you won't have time to do the don'ts because you won't do it because you ain't got time to do it.
Amen.
You start planning and counting the cost and putting Jesus in the equation. You don't have to worry about crossing the T's and dotting the I's because God does that. He helps you do that. He connects the dots. Hallelujah. He crosses
yeah.
the T's. He dots the I's.
Yeah.
Glory to God. You're a winner. And if you continue to speak it out of your mouth, to say it, to think it, you're going to have what you think. You're going to have what you say. You're going to have what you do because you are a prophetic being. You're planting seed, and the seed you sow is the crop you grow.
Yeah. Can I say that again, Bishop?
Huh?
The seed, can I say that again? Can I repeat that? The seed you grow is the seed you sow is the crop you grow.
That is so important. So as a five-year-old, seek to do good.
Yes.
Be nice to your brothers and your sisters and your mom. And do that. Help the teachers in the block. You know,
yes.
be good to them. The king's in training. I'll give you 5 or 15. Help somebody.
Yes.
Glory to God. Volunteer somewhere. Go down to the nursing home and help feed an elderly person that can't hardly feed themselves. Do something.
Mm.
When you're so busy doing good, glory to God, you ain't got time to hang around the knuckleheads.
That's right. That's right.
And this is one of the most important things. And I'm going to hit this before the time is up. Hopefully the time is not up. Praise God. We got to be planted, men, kings, and kings of training. You got to be planted. The Bible says in Psalms 1, verse 3, that we're like trees that are planted by the rivers of water. The rivers of water is the word of God. The rivers of water is Jesus Christ. He is the word of God made flesh. You got to be planted in a Hallelujah. A Bible living church. You got, and that was Psalms 1 and 3. And we can go back to 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what?
Prosper.
Prosper. Hmm. Psalm 92, verses 12 and 14, that he shall be like a what is that, palm tree? Planted that, glory to God, that bringeth forth fruit, even in his old age, he will bring forth fruit. To be a godly man, you got to have God.
You got to have God on your side. Absolutely. Not only do you have to have God, but you have to follow him. You have to obey. He has to be the lamp to your feet and the light to your pathway, and you have to be able to walk therein.
That's right.
You're right. That takes some structure. That takes some discipline. That takes some doing. Because those distractions will want to pull you to the left or to the right, but you will have to decide, I better stay on this path right here that I'm on, that God's got me on, so I can fulfill the will of God in my life.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Minister Jerry, and everyone that's been listening. God bless you real good. Hopefully you got it down in scriptures. Holly, there's some more that we could give you, but I'll tell you, our time is up. But bless you. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for the kings and kings in training that were on this call tonight.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We ask that you would bless them in a special way.
Yes.
Meet them at the point of their need and then give them super abundantly for them. And Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for adding signs, wonders, miracles, and blessings to their lives and to their families' lives.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
For the woman's
Bluetooth connected.
They
have to look to the cross of Christ. They know they have a true Father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. The safe is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press the set. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the 15. All you have to do is take it for G-O-D. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, his presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the ark of the Lord. Shout out to the Lord. He hears your heart cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty man. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He is the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you're weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy single-handed. That mighty man of valor.
Next, you will hear the Women's Fellowship with Pastor Peaches Berry. Stay tuned. God bless you. God loves you. We love you. Nothing you can do about it. See you next month.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
House Christian Prayer and Worship Center. Hallelujah. Pastor Peaches, and we also had Elder QB Stevenson co-hosting with me tonight. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Are you there, Elder QB?
Yes, I am. Oh, definitely. So excited, excited about the word that we're going to deliver this evening and discuss.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God bless the men's fellowship that preceded us. And we just thank God for the women's fellowship. Hallelujah. And how God just puts things together. We thank God for his goodness, his mercy, his blessings. And, Father God, we just ask you to go before us in the name of Jesus. Let everything be done in decency and order. Lord God, let everything, Lord God, be said to be a blessing to someone, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for making us, Lord God, women of vessels of honor for you. Hallelujah. Women of God, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for all that. Every life that you have allowed us to touch, Lord God, bless every woman, Lord God, that's listening tonight in the name of you. Let their hearts be encouraged, Lord God, and let the word of God just be a blessing to them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. When it came to me to speak on tonight, we want to speak on women. The power of the woman, the things that God has allowed women to do, and to the places in history where he has allowed the woman to be and to bless. And I tell you, when it came to me, because I do ask the Lord, what do we speak on, what do we talk on? And this week, one day this week, was it wasn't Women's Day, but it was I guess women were being honored.
Yes.
And I said, oh wow. And then it came to me. That's what we'll talk on Friday night. Hallelujah. And I tell you, if we have such mighty, mighty roles. Hallelujah. So many big things that we have done in history. Hallelujah. From the very beginning of time. From the very beginning of time. I looked at a piece of paper that you shared with me the beginning of February, Elder QB, and I pulled some names off. They were black entrepreneurs, African-American entrepreneurs, and I pulled some names off of that piece of paper of inventions. And these were inventions of African-American women. And my mind went there. And then I thought about some of the women that was in the Bible, the roles that they played. And, oh, my gosh, we were such an intricate part of God's plan. We were not an afterthought. We were not an afterthought. And some of the names on a piece of paper, Sarah Boone. She was the inventor of the ironing board. Some of the everyday items that we use in our homes, we don't realize, but a woman invented some of these things. And if we were, one time I thought to myself, I say, if the things that African-Americans invented was taken off the face of the earth, oh, my gosh, we would, the world would be in bad shape. But just to think the things that the women had a part in. A lady named Maria Brown, she was the inventor of the security system. Wow. Her name was Maria Van Britten Brown. The security system. Who would have thought it? Some things we think, oh, well, that's something that's, a man thought of that. No, a female did. A lady named Alice Parker, she was the inventor of the heating furnace. Wow. Who would have thought it? And Linda Newman, the hairbrush.
Yeah, oh, my goodness.
The hairbrush. OMG. Wow. And a lady named Jane Metzinger, the shoelacing machine. Hallelujah. We just thank God for females, for the roles, the ideas that God has dropped in his spirit and the knowledge to bring things about. Another one, Adeline Whitney, was the patent and the early version of the alphabet blocks. Wow. The alphabet blocks came in different shapes, sizes, and can form letters, punctuation, symbols, and numbers. Who would have thought of that? The building blocks. Wow. and a lady named Agnes Pubat was a French researcher who made improvements in the design of the tread on the tire, which made the tire last longer.
Yes,
who would have thought it? Who would have thought that that a female would have had anything to do with anything to go on a car?
Yes.
But God dropped things, ideas, witty inventions in the spirit of females to bless the world.
Amen.
And the
Amen.
Things that they invented, we're still using them today. They're still being a blessing
right.
to us today. And then I thought about the Proverbs 31 woman.
Yes. Oh, yes.
The Proverbs 31 woman.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about her. Whenever there's a Women's Day or there's a Mother's
uh-huh.
Day, in church
uh-huh.
people always talk about, oh, the Proverbs 31 woman. Oh, she just did this and she did that and she did so much. And they say, but I was looking at that scripture today and looking at it in the Amplified. Oh, my goodness. This lady was an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
She was a wife. She was a real estate investor. She was a farmer. She was a negotiator. She was a seamstress. And all of this, she was humble and full of wisdom.
Yes.
And her husband was known in the gates.
Amen.
She was, now, I tell you, the average woman, having all that behind her, the average person, they could kind of like puff them up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Make the head a little bit come big, and the chest got a little bit more. But this woman was full of wisdom, which she knows, and a woman of God knows that when she stays humble, God exalts her. When she stays humble, it shows God, hey, I can trust her. Her head's not going to get big. I can instill more in her because I know she's not going to get puffed up.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And I said, wow. God is so awesome. And we can't help but think about some of the other females in the Bible. After Jesus Christ rose from the dead, it was a female.
That's
they
right.
got the word. Saw him and got and ran and told. Hallelujah. That was a good thing.
Yes, it was.
She's going to see and go get the word. A lot of times people say, oh, females are always blabbing, always doing this chit-chat. But this female, what we also know, we know how to keep things quiet. We know how to hold secrets, and we know how to get the word of God out.
Yes,
we know when we submit ourselves to God. We know, and the word when we to win souls, we must be wise and cunning. And God knows that we will put ourselves in front of Him and put ourselves at His feet. Say, okay,
right.
God, I want to win this granddaughter. I want to win this soul to You, and God knows that we will submit ourselves to Him, and He knows that He can drop in our spirit just what to, how to minister to that grandchild. He knows that we're going to be before Him long enough for Him to drop in our spirit some nuggets of how to witness to that next door neighbor, how to witness to that person at the checkout in the supermarket. Who knows? He can trust us.
That's right.
To hold things and to pray for certain people and to pray for certain things. And He knows that He can trust us when He gives us dreams and He gives us the interpretation of the dream. Let us know just what this something means. We're not going to blab it.
That's right.
It's for us to talk to a person. We're going to go to that person. But He also knows that when we know that something's wrong, we're going to fall on our knees, and we're going to take it to Him, and we're going to pray about it, and it's going to be taken care of.
Amen.
Because He knows He knows how He made us.
Yes.
And all women are not chatterboxes. He knows that, hey, this daughter I can trust with.
That's
such
right.
and such. I can trust her. And so, therefore, he will get, and the more he can trust you, the more he will give you.
He will give you.
Hallelujah. And he knows that we're going to see a soul that's precious. We want to see that soul one to the Lord. So, therefore, he's going to give us just how to minister to that soul.
That's
because
right.
he wants
yeah.
that soul. And I just think about my mom. I thank mm-hmm. God for the
yes.
foundation
yes.
of the word of God that she laid yes. in her children. All yes. of us. Mama had eight to the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I know at one time my mother said we were her children were going out to four different schools. But my mother prayed with everybody before they went out the door.
That's right.
And
right.
I tell you, and she didn't have to run to the school to for fights and this and this and that, whatever. I was told one of my sisters was a fighter, but I think she kind of kept that away from Mama though. But that's even that sister is in the church today, working for the Lord today.
The Lord.
Hallelujah! And my mother would go from bed to bed at night and anointing us with oil and praying over us. And all, and she had been made a proud parent before she went on to be with the Lord a year ago. My mother was 99 years old, and she passed away January of last year. My mother was not on any type of medication.
Great.
And and had skin beautiful, and I don't know what, no wrinkles or anything like that. And still, and she prayed. She was a praying woman. A praying woman, and so many people today have been delivered from sin. So many women have given birth because my mother praying for them because they was having female problems and wasn't able to deliver children, weren't able to have babies or had a miscarriage or for some reason or another. And because she prayed for them, she was able to, they were able to have children, have a family. So many people stopped from and one young lady was getting ready to jump out a window, and my mother called right after this young lady had pushed the window up, and she was getting ready to commit suicide, and the phone rang, and it was my mother, and my mother prayed that spirit of suicide off of her, and I know two other situations the same thing. And it was, and the Lord, when you stay before the Lord, when you give God your time, when you stay in prayer, and you live a life of prayer, God will drop things in your spirit. Call this one right now. Pray for this one. And sometimes we don't know why someone will come to our mind, or we may see a flash in somebody's face or whatever, and say, oh, I didn't thought of her in a while. Pray for that person. Sometimes call that person on the phone. Hallelujah. And you and it's the Lord that's leading you and guiding you. Hey, call this lady's name in prayer. When you pray, when you fasten today, carry this lady in your fast. Pray she's going through such and such. Hallelujah. And God, we are incubators. Females are incubators. And God knows that he can trust us, and he knows that when he gives us something, we're going to take care of it. We're going to handle it. And we're going to deliver it back to him just the way he expects. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank God for Jesus. Yes, indeed. Yes. I thank God for making me a female.
All right.
Yes. I know I'm just going on and on. I'll keep you with God is good. God is good. And I thank God for you being a woman of God. I thank God for you being in my children's life, being in my life, in the former church that we both attended, and you were my children's choir director. And you used to come by on Saturdays and pick up my four girls. And they could all fit in your van, and you would take them to church and teach them songs. And on Sunday, they would get a band, sing them songs, and now you are, they're grown and they have children.
That's right.
And one of their children is your assistant in church now. Isn't it amazing? Hallelujah. And you are one of the women that God has trusted so much to, has entrusted children's lives to. And I'm sure you have not let the Lord down. And you've been molding children and speaking the word of God to them and over them and praying for them, and still is. I would say 35 years. Cause I'm gonna go, 30 years later.
Uh-huh.
Whoa. Thank you, Jesus.
You feel
so
good.
Oh, my goodness. God is good. Hallelujah.
That is also true. But I want to build up with how you think about yourself.
Yes.
We have to look into the Word of God to see who we are, because life can beat you up so
badly. Yes.
But we are queens. But our topic tonight is the influence of women in our lives and in history.
Hallelujah.
Remember, the influence of women, the people that we study very closely, how they walk, how they talk, how they see the people, you know, what they did and did not do. And something in us said, well, I want to be like that person. I'm going to take that characteristic and put it within myself.
Mm-hmm.
I could be a better person, because you're standing as a model in front of you. And since I've been with the church and knowing the five levels of knowledge, learn, heal, activity, modeling, and teaching house, this is what a good woman does in her everyday life.
Praise God.
And having the wisdom, the pillars of wisdom, if you can carry, a woman can carry a teachable, loving spirit, and you can see that she is hungry and thirsts after God, and she wants to do anything she can to please him, and willing to go the extra mile and not want to be caught praying or anything. To have a heart of integrity and honesty, a heart that is giving and kind. That's the kind of woman that talks about in Proverbs 30:31-25, which talks about a virtuous woman.
Yes.
These are attributes that she will show, all because she knows who she is, because the Word of God has told her so. And then God has given us people in our lives, our models, like our mom. Like my mom set boundaries for me. She laid the foundation. Then I had an older young woman who walked it out in front of me, which is so useful. Then the Lord gave me a mother in the Lord. He instilled the Word of God in me. So I had models in front of me to help me be who I am today. And it ain't over yet. I'm still growing and growing. But I'm so encouraged by the seeds that are planted by me, by them, because they let me know in the Word of God who I was.
Mm-hmm.
I was a child of God, and I wasn't afraid to display it because they had walked it out in front of me, just talked it into my ear. Later, when they were my buddies, I could go to them about situations and things that were going on in my life, and I loved it. And they did it in such a loving way, because women can use their tongue the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
They can be very critical and harsh. But when you come to people with the Word of God in love, the Bible says, speak the truth in love. And when we do that, it just stays with you. When we look at the Bible and look at Sarah, she was beautiful and strong, a woman of great wisdom and knowledge. She was submissive to her husband, and she had to deal with a lot of things, but she was always respectful to him.
Mm.
And sometimes women have to understand when to speak and when not to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And just pray about it. That is so important, because our tongue can lavish love and healing, and it also can cut you up.
Mm.
But a godly woman, she has the attributes of the Bible. She thinks about the model of the women that were in her life, and she wants to be doing that always. She's not on her own.
Amen.
She knows that she's here for a time, a season, and a reason, and not taking it lightly, knowing that there are some behind her that are going to follow. Living intentionally is so important. But just knowing that you are Danny God's baby girl, he's going to be there for you, to heal you, to talk to you, to take you along the way. And when you pass those attributes on to other women that you come across, that will help them hold their heads up high, let them know they're valuable, valuable to themselves, their families, and to God. So we have to be an influence to other women on purpose. Give them the boundaries. give them the word of God, and then walk the life in front of them. Be there for them. Always let them know that you have a friend in me, and hold my hand. We're going to do this together. You are not alone. We're God's treasure. We are his masterpiece. We are his trophy. To know who you are in Christ Jesus is so important. Everybody wants to know that they're important. And when you're a woman, that has been given to you as a great honor because we bring life into this world. We pray over our children as they're in our bellies. When they come out, as we feed them, we put the word of God in them along with the food that we give them. We give them natural food and spiritual food. Mm-hmm. And like you said, God trusts us.
Thank you.
He trusts us to form, to help him form the seeds of this world, to plant seed in them early, like training up a child in the way you should go. That's at the cradle. That's at the primary stages. That's at the state stage. And as young adults, we do exactly what God tells us to do. Everybody wins. The family wins, the husband wins, and the woman is stabilized in knowing that she definitely is God's queen. Thank you, G.
Lord Jesus, I pray. You mentioned the tongue and how we can, I know in the book of James, it talks about that tongue. It's a small member, but it can do some damage. And I tell you, when you keep the word of God in front of you, and when you eat the word, and you sleep the word, and you live the word, that member, it's also a member that you committed and submitted unto the Lord. It's going to build up. It's going to strengthen. It's going to do the work and the will of the Lord. Sometimes the flesh may want to, when somebody rub you the wrong way, the flesh may say, oh, go smack them, go do, or say such and such, or give them a tick for tack. But the Spirit of God will direct that little member.
Oh, yes.
To say something that's a blessing.
This is the word. Just a piggyback on that. And Peter's 1 Peter 3:1-4 talks about your conversation. Sometimes a wife can have a husband that doesn't talk very well, or his spirit is kind of mean or whatever. The word of God tells us in our conversation with them, we can change their hearts and minds.
Yes.
Because that without the word, you can be won by the conversation of the life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it also says, and let it be the hidden man of the heart, which is not corrupt. Even the ornaments of a meek, mild spirit, the sight of God, a great price. The way the woman carries herself, how she speaks, it turns a situation around, because if there's a whole lot of confusion going on, all you got to do is speak in a nice, quiet voice.
Yes.
Will change the atmosphere. You have to know the power that you have in the world. You come into a room, Satan has to get back because the aura of the Holy Ghost is upon you, and then when you speak, the word of God is in your tongue, and when they hear that your words are healing love words, it fills the heart, and it encourages them, and they feel the love of God because of the way you have presented God.
Yes.
You put God on a platform that they cannot deny, and you've done it in a manner that is pleasing to God, pleasing to man, and you know who you are in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Yes. In Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. If you already have a companion, not even just a companion that's giving you ungodly words or an argument, you can, there's somebody in the, and now they have a whole lot of situations on the internet, and the person's name is Kern. And when you run into a Kern, and they're just being belligerent and this and this and that, and saying things out the way. And when you don't give them what they're giving you,
all right,
God will give you the words that he will drop in your spirit to say out of your mouth will be just like water. And that water will drench whatever is coming out of somebody else's mouth. It puts the fire right out. And you will wonder, they'll be wondering, what? It takes the wind out of the sail. It takes the anger out. It does. It's just like it's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is like spewing all over the situation, and they look at you like, well, no one expecting that. And it takes all their fight out. It takes all their fight out. And that's just what the Lord, when you are praying over your loved ones and your children trying to come in, come through the door all different hours of the night, or you have I don't want to say a wayward husband, but a companion that's acting a donkey, and you praying for, and see certain situations, the person that's coming against you expects certain things, expects you to react in a certain way.
Yes.
But when the Lord, when you're given that situation to the Lord, God will drop things in your spirit that will just let the person know that Jesus loves you. Nobody that's coming at you with fire expect you to expect some fire back.
That's right.
But when you don't give it back to them,
mm-hmm.
hallelujah, when God gives you his word to give mm-hmm. to them, mm-hmm. it just melts their heart. They can't continue to kick against the prick. They can't continue to fight. And see, they're going to turn around and run, and they're going to go and sit in a corner and wonder, like, oh, well, this used to work. It works on other people. Why won't work on her? Just because we are women of the word.
Thank you. And this is the reason mm-hmm. she said that. The word of God says that the older women are to teach and train the young
yes.
women.
Yes.
In Titus 2 and 4, it says that they may teach the young women to be sober.
Yes.
So, love your husbands and to love their children.
Yes.
And you know, sometimes it can be very unlovable.
Mm-hmm.
But because you are a praying woman and you
mm-hmm.
have wisdom.
You
mm-hmm. know when to say things to your husband and when not
yes.
to.
Yes.
And when the child is upset, you give them the boundaries of the soft voice and say, let's table this and let's talk about it a little later when we've both calmed down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So wisdom in that is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because our aim is to do what God says.
Yes.
To win souls.
Yes.
We have to be cunning. We have to be able to win souls.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do that in many ways. Sometimes
yes.
you say, well, Tommy, you can go in and have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich right now and then go do your homework. And you go, huh? Because you even say, get in there and do your homework. But the Lord has already cautioned you that that child's had a rough day today.
Mm-hmm.
So an extra measure of love and understanding
mm-hmm.
is needed. That's why women mm-hmm. of God have to be sensitive to the word of God and to his nodding and the words that he says to us. Because our stance is so important. We can wreck a train, or we can set it up right on its wheels.
Yes.
But our thing is to win the loss at any cost. And we start at home, right here in your home. Because when your children, your husband, your family, everybody can go out in a good mood, a loving, kind frame of mind, whatever they meet, they're in a better state, and they'll come out more positive than coming out with you howling and screaming and yelling at them or whatever. Do everything you can to win their hearts, their minds, their
yes.
souls, and their
yes.
spirit.
Yes, yes. And I believe a woman that stays at home, I would say a homemaker at home, a stay-at-home mom, which at one time I was, that mother, that woman has a terrific job, has a job, and don't let anybody tell you, mom or stay at home mom, that you don't have a job or you ain't doing nothing. You ain't gonna. Let me tell you something. You have a job. You are a manager. You have to manage the household finances and the children and the husband and this and that. And you have to even situate the home so that, or think your daily schedule so that everything is clean and pristine. When hubby gets home, when children come to the door, you have time to pray, to walk through that home. Hallelujah. Loose the Holy Ghost in the atmosphere in the home. So when those children come in, hallelujah, you don't know what they've been in, but you know if they're in public school, they're not in a godly atmosphere.
I'm telling you.
And so therefore, when they hit that door, you able to lay hands on them, and they ain't got to know you praying on them, but that's your house, so therefore you can pray out loud with your children. Hallelujah. So you don't want them demons and spirits from the school and everything that's been around there to come through in your house and disrupt your house in the name of Jesus. And then and having things situated so that even when the hubby comes home, you don't look like a ragamuffin. You don't look like somebody that stayed in the hair rollers all day long, somebody that did not bathe, did not shower. But I tell you, you can make it so that when he comes to that door, because believe you me, the devil done beat on him all day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Oh,
yeah. So he's around all types of atmosphere, and if he's working in the office or whatever, working around ungodly females. They could be saying any and everything, presenting themselves to him in an ungodly manner, saying things to him that no single woman should be saying to a married woman, but to a married man. Hallelujah, all types of temptations, whatever. But God can give you during the day set up that atmosphere at home that when he comes through that door, that's right. And his home should be his haven of rest. So great, so much that he's, oh, baby, I'm so glad I'm home. And he can feel the Holy Ghost when he comes through the door. He can feel the rest, the peace, the enjoyment. And he can bless God in his soul and say, thank God I didn't give to them temptations during the day. Oh, honey, guess what happened during the day? Whatever. And he can sit down and just chill, and you can have it so that let him go to his room. Don't let the children rush him or whatever. Let him have some quiet. Let him have some peace. Hallelujah. Before anybody even comes, oh daddy, I need the daddy. This. When my kids were small, when I would come home, I would say at least give me 20 minutes. To wind down, to chill, and all. And that's what that mom, that's what you can do for the husband when he comes home. Keep the children away from him for a while. Let them say, hi, daddy, but that's it. But that's it. Keep the children at you know, a little distance for a while. Let dad go in there, shower, change whatever you want to do. And if you the type, you want to have his plate and everything set up at the table, hallelujah, and have dad have his time at the table. If the children already ate, that's fine. If you were waiting for dad to come home and for everybody to sit down and eat, then everybody have be able to sit around the table at one time. But if dad comes home late during the time the children start being in bed, let the children be in bed, and that's you and dad's time. Hallelujah. And you be so relaxed and prayed up so that when you rub his head, Oh, honey, I'm so glad to see. He can feel the anointing of God. He feels peace. Because don't you know, if you have friction in your spirit, if you have trouble and fussing and fighting in your spirit, don't you know that he's going to feel that too?
Oh, definitely.
And he doesn't need to come home to confusion, to bickering, fussing, fighting woman. The word of God says it's best to be on the rooftop than in the
okay.
To be in the house.
To piggyback on what you're saying, a woman has a great opportunity to set the atmosphere, whether she's home all day or whether she goes to work and comes in. But in her mind, she wants home to be a haven.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to think of things that will keep calmness and peace in the air.
Yeah.
She can get the best out of the person that day, whether she's seen them all day or not. But you have that power. You have to know the strength that you bring to the family unit.
Because
even the world has a way of saying, the hand that rocks the cradle.
Yes.
And that is so true.
Yes.
So we as wise, godly women, using the knowledge and the wisdom that God has given us, we can make heaven, home our heaven.
Yes.
See, and that ministers to them. It's much more easier to flip or slide the word of God into them as they're eating, as they're going to bed, the atmosphere is free. And they may get thinking something up, but you've already taken control of the atmosphere.
Hallelujah.
Again, those new souls are cunning and wise.
Right. Yes.
Romans 8:37 says, in all these things, we are more
than conquerors.
We yes. Him who loves us. Mm-hmm. So let that love spill over into our families because they're precious. Because when they go out that door, you don't know if you're going to see them again or not. Mm-hmm. But you, on your shift, send them out in the right way.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. And wives, anoint your husband's shoes, anoint their clothes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anoint their everything.
Briefcase, whatever. Lunchbox.
That's right. So and so they aren't bringing spirits home with them. Spirits aren't attaching themselves to them, and they come into your home. Hallelujah.
And Sister Peaches, when my kids were younger, I would put little notes in their lunchbox or the bag for lunch. Even my husband at the time, I would put something sweet or a nice word in there. If it wasn't the word of God, it was something like have a nice day or something. Because that when they go to eat their lunch or later on the day, they go, oh, somebody was thinking about me.
Mm-hmm.
And that carries such mm-hmm. a big weight.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many tools at our command if we just use them and use them in a godly way. Only
yes.
with to make sure love is the center of what we do.
Yes.
And it will never go wrong.
Yes. And love is of God. And we can't fail. When we use the love of God, we can't fail. It may the enemy may try and make you think, oh, that ain't amounting to nothing. But you know what? God's going to have your back.
Oh, yeah.
God got your back. When you do things the way he says, and see, it's the enemy's job to make you think that the word of God don't work. But we know that the word of God will never fail, that God won't fail. For one jot or tittle, the world will pass away. God's going to stand behind his word. And God will reward you for how you treat your husband, for how you treat your children, how you treat people. Not how people treat you, how you treat. And I am a witness as to, or to, say it like this. Well, I was, the people used to call me that, a Beaver Cleaver mother or wife.
Uh-huh.
Be dressed up when the husband comes home, house clean, children go to bed, and it's a, you know, picture perfect, picture thing. And you know what? And years later, when things did not turn out, the person I was married to strayed away from the Lord. But God rewarded me for the person I was.
That's right. Exactly.
He rewarded me for the person that I was, for the love I gave. And that's what we have to know. God is not going to reward somebody else for what they did to you. He's going to reward you for what you did to them. We have to walk in the word. We have to be obedient to the word as to what God told us. And today, I have the husband doesn't mind doing for me.
Yes.
And he is the man of God that walks up rightly before God. All he knows how. And you know what? And more, and you know what? And there's oftentimes I've thought about the love that my husband said, and you know, and it brings tears to my eyes because I know what I once had.
Yes.
And sometimes you feel like, oh, I just don't deserve this. Oh, God, what did I do to deserve this?
And you can't imagine you deserve the best.
And I tell you, and when you make out that list, and when you make out that list for the single ones and telling God, put it all down on a piece of paper.
Exactly.
For real. I'm serious, because God cares for about the things that you care about. And for the single women that's desiring a marriage, tell God what you want. God cares about you down to your baby toe. I tell them that God cares about everything you care about.
Everything.
Tell God the type of man. You want a man that loves you like God loved the church. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to tell you when you're wrong and loves Jesus more than he loves you.
That's right. Exactly.
And believe you me, God will do it. God will do it. Stay encouraged to live for the Lord. Stay encouraged to walk right before God. Stay encouraged to do what's right and not fall to temptation, no matter what the world shows you, no matter what the world presents to you. No, it's nothing compared to what God has. It's nothing compared to what God can do, what God can give you, what God can bring, what God's reward.
That's right.
And just when God breathes, when you stand up for what's right, and you, and no matter what, I'm serious, when it comes fighting the temptations out there, I don't fear. The temptations be so, you, I'm serious, you, if, you may have to hold on to your panties while you're running. Say no. Run. Flee fornication. Flee fornication. God will do it, and God will reward you. God will reward you. Women of God, stay true to the Lord. Jesus loves you, and it ain't nothing going to come your way that God won't give you strength to overcome. Hallelujah. His word. His word. Use his word. Hallelujah.
You're telling him the secret how to pray. Look in the word of God. Give God back his word.
Yes.
That. So we are an investment. He's looking for a return.
Yes.
We're not about situations. Look the word of God and give it back. You've got to show up. And when you live the life like our battle cry says, I am strong
in the Lord. In the power of his might. But Jesus is Lord. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you.
Shine the light on that. Oh, God.
Yes, yes, thank you. Thank you so much, Elder Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your strength. Lord God, continue to encourage the women of God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, God. Hallelujah.
Thank
you. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
For all the world to see,
oh,
in living inside of me.
Hallelujah.
God for me, but I know that wherever you lead me, that's the place where he really is.
The word. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.